Hello, everybody, and I'd like to welcome you to the premiere episode of my new show. I'm calling it UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. And that has two meanings, meaning that UFOs are physically flying over our heads, and also over our heads, meaning that I think we're kind of in over our heads, literally, in understanding the UFO phenomena and the paranormal. But I also have another name for the show. I'm not sure what to call it. I was thinking also of calling it Across the Universe. So maybe if anyone's listening, they could tell me which name they like better, and we'll go with that. But at any rate, this show, as the title implies, is about UFOs and the paranormal. My name is Preston Dennett, and I've been researching this subject for about 20 years now. I've written 10 books and about 100 articles, so it's really my passion. And I want this show to be kind of a cutting-edge news-type show where we release current information about UFOs and the paranormal, as well as answering any questions people might have about these subjects. So if you have any questions, please email me. My email is my first name with an E on the end, so it's PrestStone@pacbell.net. And I love to receive emails, so keep them coming. And basically, that's it. I'll present new guests, hopefully, at least every other week, but as often as possible. And I want to present not only guests that, you know, people are familiar with, famous people who have written books that you love about UFOs and the paranormal, but also obscure guests, people that you probably haven't heard before, but meaning firsthand witnesses. I really like to hear from the people themselves, the people who saw the UFO, who were abducted, people who lived in haunted houses. That's what I think is really exciting. So I want to try and bring a lot of people on who have had experiences. So if any of you have had experiences out there, please email me again. I'd love to hear about it. Okay, well, now let's just get to the news part of the show. There is some recent news in UFOs. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Alien Autopsy show. That was released, I don't know, like 10 years ago, I think, probably. But it was a very controversial from the beginning. It divided experts. It was a footage which supposedly showed the Roswell crash and an ET being dissected. And there was a lot of evidence, actually, in support of the film, including, you know, the film appeared to be dated from that time, and there were no anachronisms in the film. But recently, Ray Santilli, who released the film, has declared that it is, in fact, a hoax. And this apparently will be the last word on the alien autopsy. I don't know. Some people are saying, though, that he's just saying that to get out of the whole mess that this film has caused. So we'll see. Another recent piece of news is that Palomar Gardens Cafe is up for sale. Now, Palomar Gardens is where George Adamski had his cafe, and where he sighted numerous UFOs, and where he started basically the contactee movement. So it's a little piece of UFO history that's up for sale. It's $1.5 million if anyone's interested. It's in Southern California. And another piece of news is Dr. Susan Clancy's book, Abducted and How People Come to Believe That They Have Been Taken by Aliens, is continuing to be slammed by UFO experts up and down the field. Apparently, Clancy does not believe people are actually being abducted and that's delusional. And her book contains a number of errors which were actually been pointed out by various researchers in the recent issue of the MUFON Journal. And another piece of news is Carl Flock, a UFO researcher. He's died 2 months ago on June 5th, 2006. He was a very well-known UFO researcher who worked with James Moseley and wrote about Roswell, but he died in his home in New Mexico of ALS. So send out your prayers to him. And another just a little piece of interesting news comes from the MUFON Journal, and I thought it was a kind of a unique case where in Kentucky, a UFO apparently collided with a train. Now, this occurred 2 years ago on January 14th, 2002, at 2:47 a.m. a train was en route from Russell, Kentucky to Shelbyana, and the first two cars and the trailing unit were severely damaged as the train struck an unknown floating or hovering object. And what's really interesting is the MUFON Journal, the current issue, July 2006, actually has a photograph of the train showing this damage. So it's a pretty interesting case. And there have been actually recent sightings in July. MUFON just released its monthly statistical MUFON report, which shows 143 UFO reports reported in the United States for just July. There were 6 in Canada, 3 in England, and 1 in a bunch of other countries. And California actually leads the number of reports with 20 reports, which actually doesn't surprise me. For those of you who have read my book, UFOs Over California, you'll know that California actually leads the nation in terms of the number of encounters and has, in fact, about 5,000 to 6,000 recorded cases. So, yes, it's still active in California. And the second state is Florida. It had 15 reports in July. Florida is also very active. North Carolina, surprisingly, has 14. Because according to the National UFO Reporting Center, it's California comes first, then comes Washington in terms of number of reports, and then Texas. And Texas here actually had only 5 sightings, and Washington had 4. And all the others had 3, 2, or 1. But a surprising number of states are, still active out there. I just recently got a call from a witness who said that it's very active up in Ridgecrest, which is here in Southern California where I am. So it's definitely still active. And that's it on the UFO news. Got a little bit of cryptozoological news. There have been some recent Bigfoot sightings. I only caught the tail end of the report on the primetime news, so I don't know where they were located, but it's good to know the big hairy beast is still around. And what should be really interesting is scientists have recently filmed the giant squid live, and this is supposedly going to be aired on the Discovery Channel Saturday, so that should be really interesting, because people never even used to believe in the giant squid. And I'm a firm believer that there are a lot of animals out there that we have not yet seen. And in fact, one of my upcoming guests in a couple of weeks is Linda Godfrey, and she's going to be talking about the Wisconsin werewolf. So that should be really exciting. But let's now just go on and get to our main subject. Today's show is called California Ghosts, and I'm basing it on my book, California Ghosts, which is been published by Schiffer Books. And my guest today is a very special guest. Her name is Christy Kisara, and actually she is my sister-in-law, so I'm really excited to have her. Christy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Oh. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. Thanks for being on the show. I'm really excited about it. We've got a lot to talk about. Now, it's funny, I never believed in ghosts growing up. I was really skeptical, as you know, and but then in 1984, my mother died. This was on October 13th, and it was just about a month or so later when we were having a service up at our friend's house when I actually saw her ghost. And I didn't believe it for a second, but this is how I got started in ghost research. And but Christy, let me just tell you a bit about Christy. Christy grew up in a haunted house, and she's had a number of very intense ghost experiences, several of which I wrote about in the book. And she was actually with me in the very beginning when I started my research. Isn't that right, Christy?
That's right.
Yeah, when a UFO wave occurred over Topanga Canyon, she was there with me to investigate it, and she's been with me interviewing the witnesses and drawing their experiences. She's now an internationally recognized and world-famous artist. She's illustrated numerous books. Most of my books she's illustrated. She's worked with a number of other different investigators. And she's actually won a few awards, so I'm really, really excited to have her. And why don't we just get into it? Well, do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, well, yeah, definitely. It's a part of our lives. I think more than, you know, I think every single household has a ghost story one way or another, and it usually relates to their relatives, and like what happened with you. And it's not an uncommon thing for people to see their relatives right after they pass away.
You know, I talked to some people. Lisa was this lady's name. Her mother died, and in the middle of the night, she heard her mother calling her name. She did not know her mother had died at this point, but it woke her up. I'm like, Lisa, that's amazing. What do you think that is? She says, oh, it was just a coincidence. She doesn't believe in life after death. She doesn't believe in ghosts. I think you're right. A lot of people are having these experiences and don't even realize it.
And it's funny how they'll just kind of slough it off. That's what really amazes me, is that a lot of phenomena that occurs in people's lives, they don't take it too seriously, but the fact of the matter is, it does occur. And
I bet that's because it kind of challenges their belief systems.
I think so. I think that we go through our lives with a normal routine and life isn't really that eventful. And then when something occurs like that, I always call it a whisper. You kind of hear it a little bit. It's a little thing. You know, it's very gentle and it's very quiet. Usually hauntings, if they're abrupt and quite, you know, like, I'm here, it's like a lower form of energy. It's just like when ghosts have to come into our physical world, they
right.
have to slow way down.
Right, they're at a higher vibration.
Yeah, that's why you can't see them. They're in another, you know, plane or energy form. And so in order to communicate, there's people called mediums that are able to rev themselves up, and then the ghost is able to bring themselves down, and then there's a happy medium, and there's some, you know, he's a medium. He's able to communicate what the ghost wants to say to other people, because other people usually don't rev themselves up like that, you know?
Yeah, you know what I've heard that's kind of interesting? I don't know if it's true, but I heard that ghosts are never actually wispy or see-through at all, and that's just an illusion of perception.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's your level of vibration or your, I don't know, your connection to the astral plane or whatever. But what people, ghosts are actually totally physically real if you're on that dimension.
Right. Or if somebody has the ability, like some people have the ability to smell different kind of smells in wine, for instance. Well, it's the same thing. It's like some people have the sense to see ghosts and other things.
Right. Well, I mean, I agree with you that there's a lot of ghosts that are really subtle, but like some of your cases, I mean, some of what's happened to you is hardly subtle.
No.
And I'm talking about, I mean, okay, you grew up in a haunted house, and pretty much everyone in that house, I interviewed your sister, and both your children, and your husband, who is my brother,
uh-huh.
and you've all reported various phenomena.
Yes.
And which seems to be centered around the armoire.
Uh-huh, a piece of furniture.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that story? How did it start? What was the first incident?
Well, let me tell you about the armoire.
Okay.
It's an antique. It's
uh-huh.
Dutch.
Antiques often cause ghosts.
Right.
Just so
or
you
they
guys
just
know
have
out there.
That doorway inside of them or something because they're old.
I wonder why that is, though. I mean, it's just a piece of furniture.
It has to do, you know, you're talking about belief systems, but in my belief, it has to do with energy. And just some things or some places or some people are little doorways. And that piece of furniture happens to be a doorway.
Huh.
For whatever. And in the house itself was sitting on a piece of property that was owned by a very famous actress, silent film actress. She owned the whole hilltop there. And her original home never got torn down. It was my neighbor's home, and we lived right next door to it. And I think in a lot of ways the hauntings came from her.
Oh, how interesting, because your house was new when you moved in.
Yeah, it was kind of new. It was built in the 60s,
oh, okay.
And we moved in around about 5 or 6 years after it was built. So the hauntings that my sister and I had when we were really little, you know, the didn't relate to the amour because my mother didn't get the amour until later. And I figure, like, when I started having experiences with the amour is when I had children.
Oh, okay.
So I've been living in that home since I was in second grade.
Well, your sister, she told me about how she would wake up and she would sense a presence standing over her, and actually woke her up on a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
And there was occasions when she was alone in the house and doors would start slamming by themselves.
Uh-huh.
And the house was making all sorts of unusual creaks, and she wanted to get out of there, but she didn't. And she actually hasn't experienced as much as you.
Yeah. She's afraid. She was scared. She was like, close the closet door, and she was the one that would get all freaked out. I would never get really scared. I was just not that way.
I'm not afraid of ghosts either. I think they're just people, for the most part, at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have asked me, can ghosts hurt you? Well, it's possible, but I think it would be a huge, huge deal for a ghost to even open a door or turn on a light. So it's very rare, but I've talked to people who've been pushed downstairs and stuff.
Yeah, and that's a really lower vibration kind of ghost. And you kind of question, is that really a ghost? There's different forms of energy beings that can do things, you know?
Okay.
But with the amour, I think the most vivid experience I had was when my mother was going on vacation and she asked my husband and I to watch the house. So I stayed in her bed. We stayed in her bedroom when we'd sleep, and so my husband was sleeping next to me in her bed, and her bed would keep shaking. I couldn't sleep all night because her bed would, like, the moment I would get right to sleep, it would start shaking.
Right, Marco, your husband, he actually got up and left because he couldn't sleep.
Right. And so one night, I just woke up, I don't know why. I was wide awake, and I look over, and it was kind of a full moon. It was kind of bright, so I could see everything in the bedroom.
Right.
And the armoire was right at the foot of our bed, and there's a door on the armoire, and I don't know if anybody knows what an armoire is. It's like a portable closet, and it's tall enough to hang clothes in, and the door just swings open, and the little latch is a very interesting little latch. It kind of hangs. It's not the kind of latch where you just pull on it and it opens. It's a hanging latch, and so how you have to open it is you have to grab onto the latch and pull it to the side or lift it up to the side, and then it opens the armoire. So what I saw was the latch lifted all by itself to the side. And you lift it, like you grab it, and it's long, like a hanging earring kind of thing. And then you grab it, and you turn it to the right when you're facing it.
Right.
I saw it turn all by itself.
Wow.
And I'm, like, trying to wake up my husband because he's never seen a physical manifestation of a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, shaking him hard, and he wouldn't wake up at all.
I wanted to ask you, is that unusual? I mean, can you normally wake him up?
Yeah.
Because there's a thing called psychic sleep, where people are put to sleep, and it's very similar to with the UFO situation. And there's big similarities between UFOs and ghosts, and I know you've seen UFOs and had some major experiences.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want to get into those tonight. I want to have you back on another occasion because that's another story.
Yeah.
But I just find it fascinating that there's that weird psychic sleep. Maybe this was just meant for you to see.
Well, apparently so, because I couldn't wake him up.
Well, maybe
I was taking them hard, and the funny thing was, is as I was doing this, the door of the Amor opened a little tiny bit, like somebody was peeking out of it, and
spooky.
I didn't see anybody, but I noticed it opened a little tiny bit, and it was peeking, and as I was shaking Marco, it closed the door, it lifted the latch, and shut the door, locked the door shut.
Well, that was it.
Marco missed it.
Okay, well, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal over our heads. Our show is California Ghosts. Our guest is Christine Kisara Dennett, and it's on BDS Radio, where if it's not mainstream, it's on BDS Radio. Okay, so that was a really interesting experience. I know you've had a lot of others. But no, your son, he also saw apparitions around that armoire.
That's right.
And he had a number of experiences, too, where he was alone in the house one day and the cabinets opened by themselves, I guess.
Yes.
And your daughter, she had some experiences she told me about where she saw actual apparitions.
Mm-hmm. She heard them, too. She heard them. They were like tinkly little fairy bells.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So you moved out of that house and you haven't heard anything since?
Well, the interesting thing was is when we moved out of the house, a fellow bought the house, and he worked in the movie business. And I don't know what happened, but he actually committed suicide in that house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Jeez.
I know. I didn't tell you that?
No.
Oh, my God. I know. He lived there for like 2 years, and I don't know what happened to the poor soul, but... He killed himself in that house.
Wow, you know, suicide causes people to become ghosts sometimes. I have a couple of cases like that.
Yeah.
That's spooky.
I've been wanting to go back there. You know, talked because the father lives there now. His father. So I've been wanting to go back there and just, like, visit the house again. And I used to, when I was young, I used to sing to the ghost in the house. I knew it was there.
Wow.
So I would be alone in the home, and I would sing to it.
Now, didn't you have a medium actually come to the house at one point?
Yeah, my sister knew a guy that was a medium, and he saw something like a woman with long black hair who carried a giant Bible with a red cross on it, and he saw her walking through the living room.
Huh.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder. Did your mom ever experience anything?
You know, I don't know. I don't think
I ever asked her, come to think of it. I know
she's very psychic, and she's had experiences up in the desert, but I don't know if she's ever mentioned anything about the house, but I'm sure she has experienced something.
Were you scared of the armoire as a child?
No, not at all.
Maybe that was your sister, Kat, because I think...
Yeah, Kat. She'd get scared of the closet and everything. She'd get spooked. She didn't like the ghosts around her.
But it didn't bother you, huh?
No, I don't mind. I think that they're there for a reason. And if they're really starting to create physical activity around you, it's because they want to communicate in some way. And I'd imagine it's very frustrating for them if they're unable to communicate. So what they do is they create physical manifestation in order to get your attention and maybe shift you into a state of mind to where you can be more receptive.
Right. I think actually most ghosts have a purpose. They're trying to be noticed, like you say.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's true because some people don't know that they're dead. This is my understanding, at least. And how that could possibly be. I mean, can you imagine not knowing you're dead?
That would be really frightening. Wouldn't you think? You're walking around, nobody's talking to you, and you're like, what's going on?
Right, and I think that's actually probably one of the main things that causes ghosts is skepticism of life after death. So people out there, if you don't believe in ghosts, you had better start thinking
opening
again,
your
because
mind.
The truth is they are out there. And Christy has more stories to tell us. You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal over our heads on BBS Radio. So, Christie. Another story I thought was really interesting and just so poignant and sad was a story you told me about a friend of yours whose brother died.
Yeah, it was a sad story because his brother was going to get married, and they had just graduated high school, and he was driving a car, and his brother was sitting in the back seat, I think, with his fiance, and there was a couple of other kids in the car, and they were driving pretty fast, and it was the middle of the night, and they're having fun. And he, I think what happened is that they hit either a tree or they got in a head-on collision. But either way, they had a full impact in the front of the car. And none of them were wearing their seatbelts because in those days, you didn't have to.
Wow.
And the cars in those days were, you know, not like the cars nowadays where they all kind of crunch accordion style. These cars are built in the 70s, so they were a little bit harder cars. So when they hit something, you'd fly right out of the windshield, you know.
Right. This was before airbags, before safety was
right.
even an idea.
And so his brother died immediately. Everybody else got pretty major injuries, but his brother just died on impact.
His older brother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, older brother. And so the whole family just, oh, it was devastating for the family. They were a large family, and it just shifted them. It was a sudden death, and it did something to every single one of them.
How old was he when he died?
He was just out of high school, so I believe he was probably around 18.
Wow.
18 or 19. But because of the fact he was the oldest out of, God, how many? Probably 4 or 5 siblings was really tough for the family. And he was going to get married. So what happened is that they lived in an old 1940s house. I think it was built in 1945. It was a fairly large house, and there was an attic in my friend's bedroom. And I went to go live with him for probably about 2 or 3 months. And he said his brother was always around.
Yeah, I call him in the book. I named your friend Tom and his brother who had died. I called him Jeffrey.
Okay, so his brother Jeffrey was always around. And Tom said that he would used to show me evidence that Jeffrey was around. He had two big, huge speakers he used to play music out of. And a hanging, swinging wicker chair.
I remember those that hang from the ceiling.
Right, from a chain. And they're kind of like a little nest kind of thing.
Right.
You know?
Right. Like well, this would be really popular there. In the 70s.
Yeah. And so what he would do is he would turn the music on really loud and tell me to stand there and watch the chair, and the chair would start swinging all by itself to the beat of the music.
So he was probably really affected by his brother's death. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Extremely affected by it. I don't even know. The family doesn't even know where he is anymore. He kind of disappeared.
Well, so this, do you remember the song that used to make this chair swing?
He used to play Led Zeppelin.
It was Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb.
Yeah, Pink Floyd was his favorite song, his brother's favorite song.
And that's right.
And
each time he'd play that, it would swing.
Right.
Now, I was wondering, do you think sound vibration, this is kind of a ridiculous question.
Hey, you could conduct the experiment.
It's ridiculous to even think that it could happen. You'd have to have, it would have to be really loud. How loud was the music?
It wasn't super loud. I mean, it was loud, but not. I mean, I can't believe that sound vibrations made that chair swing because it was heavy.
Did it look like someone was sitting in it? I mean, you know how kind of there's a tautness to the rope or the chain? Could you tell?
You know, it didn't do anything to indicate that somebody suddenly sat in it. All it did was start swinging.
Well, that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Because you saw this firsthand.
I did.
More than once?
Yeah. Happen all the time.
Oh, my God.
Every time we play the music, and it wouldn't happen to any songs. It would happen to certain songs.
Now, what did,
rather liked.
What did Tom say? Did he say, oh, I want to show you this, you know, this is happening?
Yeah, and then he'd show me where Jerry was living. He was living up in the attic.
Wow.
So I'd go to Jerry, and I'd talk to Jerry.
Jeffrey.
That's what I called
him. Sorry.
That's okay. I would talk to him. I would sit there, you know, I sing to ghosts, I talk to them. I would sit there in the, you know, talking to him and tell him about my life and stuff and how I felt.
Wow.
And I think that in some ways he had an influence on my life, you know, that whole family did, because I met my husband in that house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, did Tom think that this was his brother, Jeffrey?
Oh, he knew.
He knew.
Yeah, he knew.
What did he say? I mean, was he happy about this, or was he shocked?
No, I think he found comfort in it because he felt so guilty about being the driver of the car.
Oh, he was the driver.
Yes.
Wow. No wonder that's so devastating. Jeez, that's a sad story.
And I know that's why his brother was there. His brother chose to stay behind to be with him.
Wow.
And he suffered a great deal in his life. I mean, I don't know what's happening with him now, but when I knew him, he suffered tremendously from it.
Now, how long did this go on where he could do this? Did you ever think of filming it or anything?
No. We didn't have video cameras then. Or maybe we did, but I didn't think of it. I didn't have the depth.
How old were you when all this was going on?
About 16.
Wow.
Yeah, I was young.
Wow.
I was just a young thing.
Okay, well, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. Our show today is California Ghosts, and my guest is Christine Kisara. She's my sister-in-law, a world-famous artist with UFOs and ghosts, and she's illustrated numerous books. If you want to actually visit her website, why don't you give us the address for that?
Okay, my website is Kisara, that's K-E-S-A-R-A, art, A-R-T, .com. And it has everything you could possibly want to see from the illustrations that I've done for researchers.
Well,
I have to update it, though, for recent illustrations.
And how many illustrations have you done, would you estimate?
I estimate about 300.
Oh, I'm going to say it's more than that.
Really?
Because, I mean, I know just from the articles that you've done for me,
uh-huh,
that there's well over 200, I would say 100.
Yeah. I have a lot more, too, that I have to put on the website.
So the website is kisaraart.com. Okay, and anyone who is interested in purchasing the book California Ghosts, they can visit my website, which is my name, Preston Dennett. That's P-R-E-S-T-O-N, D as in David, E-N-N-E-T-T, PrestonDennett.com. And I've got all my books on there with some of Christie's art, and I think lots of excerpts from the books. Please feel free to visit the website. Also, you can contact me through the website. Just click on my name. And again, I want to hear from anyone out there who's had any paranormal experience, whether it be UFOs or ghosts. If you have a question you want to ask about UFOs, please email me. My email address, again, is my first name, Preston, with an E on the end. So it's preston@pacbell.net. And that's it, and we'll move on to your next...
Can I make a plug?
Oh, yeah, please.
I just recently did an illustration for Dan Aykroyd, Unplugged, with UFOs.
Oh, this is the new DVD that's been released.
Uh-huh.
UFOs Unplugged.
Right, and it's for sale, like, in every single store, like Blockbusters or whatever. But if you want to see some of the ET illustrations, I have, like, a few on that show, but it's such a great show. It's such an amazing show because they had Gordon Cooper on that show.
Gordon Cooper, for those of you who don't know, walked on the moon, I believe. He was one of our astronauts.
Yeah. And I just thought, oh, I'm so glad he said something.
It's about time. You know, here we are. Everyone's talking about Mel Gibson. For God's sake. You know, all right, I understand. He's famous. He made a mistake. No one's perfect. I'm not condoning it. But that's not news. It really, really isn't. We've got so much happening right over our heads. And it's just being ignored. This is news. This should be front page news when an astronaut, someone like of his credibility,
mm-hmm.
comes and says that UFOs landed at Edwards Air Force Base, that he's actually seen UFOs chasing jets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely people have to check out that DVD. What's it called again?
It's called Dan Aykroyd Unplugged with UFOs.
And
really quick. David Sarita did the documentary.
And you've seen it?
Yeah, I have it. I bought it.
Would you give it a good review then?
Oh, I think it's a great show, and it's put together really comprehensive. And he's got some very credible witnesses. And that's the most. And Dan Aykroyd's just such a beautiful person.
Oh, it's so nice to have someone, you know, with some power, some celebrity power.
And he's so intelligent too. He's just the most, you know, beautiful, intelligent person. And he was just so lucky to get Dan Aykroyd to talk on the show, and to get Gordon Cooper and all these other wonderful people.
And he was a conehead, too, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Kind of fitting. Okay. Well, yeah, that's really exciting. I will definitely have to check that out.
Do you have time to talk about George?
Yeah, we still have 20 more minutes.
Cool.
You're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads on BBS Radio, where if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS. My guest is Christine Kisara. And she's going to tell us about another really exciting story. This is a poltergeist case, right?
Right.
Yeah, tell us about this. This is amazing.
When I was young, like just starting high school, I had a friend named George, and he lived in the garage in his mom's house. And one day, he had an amazing record collection. He put it all in category, and if everybody's ever had a record collection, you always keep it in certain categories so you can, you know, if you're a collector, you know where the records are, and it's quite a coveted thing to have these record collections. So
right, like me with my UFO books are all in order.
And so he would clean his whole garage, and he made it all nice, and he did his whole record collection, and he went out to eat. And this is all in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley, and in Canoga Park.
California.
So, and I don't know when his home was built, but it was probably the same time, the 60s. Anyhow, he came back from dinner, and he walked inside, and his records were all over the room, balancing precariously in different spots.
This is like typical out of the movies.
Yeah. Poltergeist activity. And I remember him just like complaining about it, you know, getting really upset about it because they would tear apart his room.
Well, yeah, I interviewed him. He said lots of weird stuff would happen. One time he came home, no one was home, and it was totally dark, and he went to turn on the bathroom light and it didn't go on. So he walked back out to the kitchen and the light in the bathroom went on, and he walked back in and then it went off, and then all the windows started rattling in the house in a circle around him. So
yeah.
it was definitely one of a mischievous presence.
And then he actually showed me the activity. We were going to all go out and I think go hiking or something like that. We used to do a lot of things in the evening. And he said, come here, I want to show you something. I want to show you what I'm dealing with right here.
Was it just you?
Yeah, it was me and somebody else. I thought it was my girlfriend was with me, but I had just seen her. I haven't seen her in 23 years, and I asked her about it. Just recently I've seen her. Her name is Jill. And I asked her about that event, and she said she wasn't there. But I'm sure I was with another female. I thought it was her, but maybe it was my sister or somebody. But I was with somebody. And he drags us over to the fireplace. And above the mantelpiece, there's like two pictures. And in front of the fireplace on the floor is the cat and this little mutt poodle. And they were both looking at the pictures, and the dog was growling. The cat, all its fur, its tail was up, it was hissing, and the pictures were going back and forth, and you could hear him going over the mantelpiece, and he's like pointing at it, and he's going, "See what I have to deal with? Do you see what I have to deal with?"
Yeah, I interviewed George about that, and here's a direct quote from him. I'm quoting him right now. He says, "That was so common, I don't remember the particular time, but there would be different times that the dog and cat would be staring at the top of the fireplace and just going crazy. And just like you said, the fur would be standing up on their backs, and they'd be howling or hissing. That was pretty common. They would do that about a couple of times a month."
Yeah.
Wow.
They just harassed the heck out of him.
You know what is really interesting that he told me? You know, I interviewed another case, which you were there. You did the interview with me with the two ladies at the haunted apartment in Van Nuys.
Yes.
Well, they described one particular manifestation in their haunted apartment, which was I've never heard of before. It's very unusual, which is when they'd turn on the faucet, the water wouldn't come out straight down, but it would come out sort of squirting sideways, like someone was putting their hand up against it.
Yeah.
Really weird, right? Now, so here's, I'm interviewing George, and he says, now I'm quoting him again, "I remember another night coming home and turning on the water in the kitchen, and it came out of the faucet and went sideways, like somebody had put their hand under it." Now that just blew my mind.
Uh-huh.
You don't, I mean, you can't make that kind of stuff up.
No. No.
It's just so bizarre, and these ghosts are, I guess they're just trying to be noticed. What do you think was George's poltergeist? Do you think it was him? Do you think it was...
Well, he was at that age, you know. He was 16. So usually poltergeist activity occurs with kids coming into puberty or in puberty.
Right, right. That's one of the main theories. There's three main theories to explain poltergeists, and that one of them is the presence of a disturbed teenager whose emotions somehow get fragmented or disembodied, and it becomes this psychokinetic energy. And I don't really buy that theory.
Uh-huh.
The reason I don't is because although there's a lot of poltergeist cases with children, there are many without children. And yeah. There's not always, I mean, activity takes place when nobody's there. So what I think we're dealing with more is a regular ghost who doesn't know that their identity, perhaps, or we're dealing with someone who's got uncontrolled mediumship. I don't know. The truth is we don't understand it. We're over our heads when it comes to
over
ghosts,
our heads.
You know, we have to find a way to start understanding this, but it's very interesting. Now, another thing I wanted to talk about, well, actually, you know, George told me that that ghost followed him to his next house in Kansas, and he thought that perhaps it was a spirit guide or something, and he never had a problem with it until one time he came in and he saw this apparition leaning over his child's crib.
Oh.
And that was it. He said he told it to go. He was in his mid-20s, and he says, "I haven't seen him since." And I don't know.
He did ask it to go. I remember him telling me that, and I thought it was interesting that they did leave.
So, that makes me think that it's not your typical poltergeist as a, you know, an uncontrolled burst of energy type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But anyway, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. My name is Preston Dennett, and my guest is Christine Kisara. We're discussing California ghosts, and you're listening to BBS Radio. Okay, now, another really interesting story. This one was, I loved, because you were working at a t-shirt factory doing silk screening, right? And one of the ladies there was a medium, and a rare type of medium, a physical medium. Now, a physical medium is someone who can actually produce physical manifestations, not just supposedly talk to ghosts, but, you know, manifest stuff. So, and I hadn't had a lot of ghost experiences at this point, and you took me to see this lady who was doing table lifting. And I tell you, afterwards, I mean, it blew my mind. I cried, actually. It was amazing, because I'd never been exposed to this kind of blatant paranormal activity.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us
how you didn't really see the woman that got her going.
Oh, I know. I'm so disappointed. But, why don't you tell us how it started and how that story?
Well, I had mentioned to the girls, you know, women, they all get together and they talk. And I had mentioned to them that I believed in ghosts. And she said that she knew somebody whose daughter did table tapping. And so they decided to invite all the girls at work and some other people over to the house because her daughter was visiting this woman and have a table tapping party, which is kind of with the tradition of table tapping.
No, table tapping or table tipping is a version of the Ouija board, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same process where people get around in kind of a circle.
And they always do it at parties.
Right. It's really interesting because apparently this lady who's doing it, she did it. She joined a sorority, I guess.
Uh-huh. Right.
And they knew all about her.
They knew all about her before she even stepped through the door with the sorority. They had the numbers of her social security. They had they had a lot of personal information about her, which she didn't go into detail, but she said that they knew everything about her pretty much through table tapping.
See, isn't that amazing? Boy, there's a tool that has not been fully used.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not condoning anyone.
You have to be careful.
Yeah, just what I was going to say. Don't run out there and do table tipping now unless you know what you're doing. It really involves a lot of clearing meditation before and afterwards. You want to do a white light meditation and maintain a very positive attitude.
Right.
But really, it is easy access to the paranormal. It's a controlled haunting. But I know that some of the people who did this did have problems afterwards. But anyway, go on. I don't want to cut into your story. We only have, like,
well, anyhow, they taught her at the sorority how to do table tapping, and she got pretty proficient at it. They used to conduct experiments where they would get objects to move, like the pictures on the wall. They got candle fire to get bigger or smaller.
This is like the movies again.
Yeah, and they actually could control the table to the point where it would lift off of all four legs. So she got really proficient at it. And when we went over to the party, I decided not to bring Preston because I wasn't sure if that would be rude, you know?
Right.
So I went, which I should have brought you. And I went over there, and I knew that house.
Huh.
I knew every inch of that house.
You mean you had, like, deja vu?
Right.
Wow.
I knew what was inside of the house. I knew all the rooms. I knew the backyard. I knew the front yard. I knew the whole thing. I had major deja vu when I went to that house. And that was the first thing, the indicator, that made me realize there's something going on with this house, you know. I wonder if they were table tapping me, you know, because I knew the house. And so I walked in, and everybody was there, and they were already table tapping, and it was really interesting because a lot of the women didn't believe in it.
Were these all women?
Yeah, mostly women. There was a husband there.
So when I went there, it was, I think, equally divided between men and women.
Well, you know, they're girls all getting together. Kind of like guys playing cards.
Right. Okay.
And so...
A little coven.
Yeah. And so they told me that I was going to do some interview with her. And so she had me sit down, and that was the first time I ever table tapped. And it was the most interesting experience because I felt the energy go through my body, through the legs of the chair, through my body, out through my arms, into my fingertips, and onto the table. It was like being plugged in.
Wow.
It was really interesting.
Was it uncomfortable?
Well, at the beginning, it made me kind of nervous. Because I'm funny that way, you know. I don't want to be possessed or anything.
Sure, sure.
So it is kind of a very mild form of possession.
That's very interesting that you would say that, because you are actually dissociating when you operate a Ouija board or a pendulum or table tapping.
Well, you're allowing yourself to be operated.
It's sort of a very, very mild form of channeling.
Right, channeling. And I could feel the difference between each spirit.
That's what I find fascinating.
So yeah, like the ones that died slow deaths, their energy was very slow, and it was hard to lift the table.
Huh.
And then the suicides were very strong and communicated, and they were right there with you, you know. And children, it was very interesting because everything would get very light with children.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was so excited when you told me about this and then invited me. Oh,
uh-huh.
Man.
Yeah, then I invited you to my girlfriend who was learning how to do it, and she got really proficient at it.
Yeah, we ended up conducting 2 or 3 hours long experiments, all types of physical and mental experiments.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. At one point, we tried to get the table to levitate. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And we never actually got it all 4 legs off the ground, but it was running around the room. We were breathless. We were running around in circles, and it finally walked over to the stairs. It took all 3 legs off and leaned into a horizontal position is what you would call it.
Yeah.
And then went, so that was like as close as it could get.
Well, you know what it did is it glided. It glided.
Right, it was jumping up. You're right, it was. But
it would jump and it would glide.
I wanted it to carry me to the ceiling. I was ready for that. I was able to, you know, when I first saw it, when I first saw people doing that, I'm like, oh, this is fake, because it wasn't a huge table.
Uh-huh.
And so I did it, and I asked if I could do it with just the medium, and it worked fine. And I'm like, okay, just put one hand on it. And she did, and I put my hands on it, and it went up. And I'm like, okay, just put, you know, I tried to do it myself, and I couldn't. And so I had my hands on it, and I'm like, just touch it lightly with your finger. And she touched lightly, and the table went right up. I'm like, ah, oh. I'm like, I know I can do this. So I'm like, don't touch it. I'm going to try it. And I held my hands on there. And damn, just that table did not start shaking like it was a rattlesnake or something. I got it to move for like 10 seconds, really, you know, enough to convince me that this was no fake.
Yeah.
And that's what really moved me. I mean, I had not experienced anything like that.
Yeah.
I know ghosts are real. I know it.
Personal experience is the best tool for belief. And
yeah.
Even then, people would deny it.
Okay, well, we're going to have to close out the show, so why don't you tell us again what your website is and what people can find there?
Okay, my name is Christine Dennett, and my website is kesaraart.com, and it's K-E-S-A-R-A, and then art, A-R-T.com, and you'll get to see most of my illustrations for California Ghosts and other books.
Okay, and do you have an email address if people want to talk to you, have questions?
Yes, it's kesaraart@gmail.com. So if you want some illustrations or you just want to talk to me, I'd be happy. I'd be happy to talk to you.
Cool, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are having ghosts, you know, problems with ghosts and don't know exactly what to do. And actually, you can find a lot of that information in the book, too. And if you want to purchase the book, California Ghosts, True Accounts of Hauntings in the Golden State, it's available on my website, which is PrestonDennett.com. That's D as in David, E-N-N-E-T-T, all one word. It's also available at Amazon.com or bookstores like Barnes & Noble, Borders Books. They should be able to order it for you if they don't have it. And there's excerpts from the book. It contains 26 first-hand stories, so it's really interesting. And Christy, I want to thank you for being my guest tonight, and I'm just do another couple of announcements about next week's show, but I really enjoyed having you on the show, and I want to have you again.
Well, it's an honor to be on your first show.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Your stories are amazing. And you know what? We didn't even get to all of them, not near.
No.
And you have had amazing UFO encounters. I want to have you back on to talk about that. And I'd also maybe like to have you back as a co-host sometime.
Anytime.
Great, because you've been with me from the beginning, and it's been an amazing adventure that shows no signs of ending. So thank you again, Christy, and I will talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads, or if you want, Across the Universe, I don't know. I don't know which title is better. I'm so indecisive sometimes. So email me if you have an opinion. And I want to give out the question of the day, or the week. So if you can answer this question, you will win a free copy of California Ghosts. And here's the question. There are three signs of possession by ghosts, according to the Catholic Church. Three signs of demonic possession. Now, if you can name two of these, email me. And the first person to email me with the correct answer to this question will win a copy of California Ghosts. So I know it's kind of a hard question and bizarre, but if you know about ghosts, you will know what are the signs of possession according to the Catholic Church. And next week, I have an amazing show for you. I'm calling it, Is There an Underwater Base off the Southern California Coast? And we're going to explore, basically, UFOs and underwater accounts. It's been very popular lately. Ivan Sanderson's book, Underwater UFOs, has been re-released, and it's doing very well. And I recently wrote an article for Fate Magazine about this, and I've been getting a lot of reports, and I've got some new information, and I want to give you sort of a behind-the-scenes of the History Channel, which actually contacted me, and we did two segments, Deep Sea UFOs 1 and 2. And so next week we'll be discussing underwater UFOs. And the week after that, I have a very, very special guest who I'm very excited about. It's Linda Godfrey. She's the author of The Beast of Bray Road, which is Trailing the Wisconsin Werewolf. It's an amazing book. I had no idea that people were seeing dog men or werewolves. This is not Bigfoot, mind you. This is something else entirely. So I'm really excited about that. And I want to thank you all again for listening to my show. UFOs and the Paranormal. My name is Preston Bennett, and we're on BBS Radio, where if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS. So tune in next week, and I'll see you then. Thank you. Don? Okay, I'm not sure if we're still on, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about California Ghosts. If you want to get the book, it's available on my website. There are 26 chapters. The chapters get more intense as we go on. I've got a chapter actually on the Charles Manson murders. So I have an excerpt of that on my website. It turns out that Charles Manson, his crimes left a trail of haunted houses. I spoke with a real estate agent who was trying to sell one of Charles Manson's, where he actually committed some of his crimes. She was trying to sell his home. And it turns out she had a really difficult time selling it. No one wanted to buy it, even though it was very low price on the market. And she actually took someone there who sensed evil spirits. So it's a pretty interesting story. And there's lots of other accounts in the book. So hopefully I will see you next time. Thanks.